From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Let's randomly go. The biggest metal festival in North America takes place in Maryland around this time of year. Maryland Death Fest turns 10 years old, and the festival opens May 24th. We're not far from Maryland Death Fest, and I'm going to bring in Lars Gottrich.
Hey, hey, how's it going, Bob?
Great, great. And up in New York, Kim Kelly. Kim Kelly's a freelance journalist. Sometimes she writes for us here at NPR Music. Who else do you write for, Kim?
Right now I'm doing Terrorizer Magazine, Pitchfork. I'm doing some things for Decibel, for Metal Hammer. Most things that write about blast beats, I generally find my way into.
Let's just do two things real quick. Well, let's play some music right off. Well, I had this, but... Oh, now where is it? Where are we? We are in... I Hate God territory.
That's one of mine.
Is it?
Yeah, they're my favorites.
You want to talk about I Hate God, and then we'll play some more music too.
Well, I mean they're one of my favorite bands. They're from New Orleans. They're one of the most enduring bands from that area. They sort of take blues and punk rock and doom and mess it all up and throw in a bunch of heroin and hurricanes, and it comes out sounding like that.
And it's EYE. H-A-T-E-G-O-D, all one word.
Yep.
This is Southern Comfort. Let's just play a little bit.
By the way, Bob,
it's
Southern Discomfort.
Oh, my God.
I just have to say.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Maryland Death Fest, how many years have you gone, Kim?
This will be my fourth or fifth year. I've been going since I just got into college, so it's been a while. I only missed one since I've been going because I was overseas. I figured that an English band that I wanted to see was in Maryland while I was in England.
And Lars, you do a lot of metal writing for the All Songs Considered blog and NPR Music in general. And last year, I remember you coming back really excited from this festival. So that was what?
That was my first time. I'd never actually been to a metal festival before in my life, just because I never really lived in an area that had one growing up. And it was a complete mind blower and mind widener and cavity searcher.
So let's describe this festival a little bit. I have images of festivals that are normally in big green fields and some sort of something scenic and
this is in Baltimore, man.
Yeah, that's Baltimore.
So why Baltimore? Let's start there.
Well, that's where the guys are from.
And the two main guys are
Ryan Taylor and Evan Harding.
And they met like in high school, like when they were 14 and 15, and shared a common interest in metal. And when they started college, they started this tiny little metal festival in Baltimore.
And often these festivals start often from a model somewhere else. Do you know anything about the history?
I'm going to assume at least that they were sort of modeling on the European festivals, because I know those guys have been involved in things like Brutal Assault and Obscene Extreme. I think Ryan spent a while over in the Czech Republic, so he probably saw how they put on fest there. And it's just sort of known in the metal world that Europe has all the best festivals.
And there's also an Ohio festival that was well known too.
I think I had read that they got one of their first influences by going to something called Ohio Death Fest.
I see. Let's play a little more music. I want to come back, and then I want you to describe this this scene of what I assume is more asphalt and grass. So we're playing music here. That's going to happen at Maryland Death Fest, music bands that are going to play that festival. So
the great thing about Death Fest is that it gives you an opportunity to see bands you normally wouldn't get to see. And even sometimes that even means bands that are right here in America, but they just don't tour because there's no money in touring sometimes. But there's a guarantee that a lot of people are going to see you at Death Fest. So one of those bands I'm really excited about seeing that I've never seen before is Autopsy. They've been a band forever. The Bay Area death metal scene, very instrumental in helping develop that part of the country's music scene. And they broke up in the mid-90s, and then they came back a few years ago, and they put out this excellent album called Macabre Eternal last year. It was one of my favorite records of last year, and I really want to play Always About to Die. Grunt is too good.
And we'll try to put all these cuts up online for streaming as much as permission as we can get. We should be able to get permission for a good chunk of this stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good. and so that's Autopsy. How many stages, first of all?
There are three. There's the main inside stage, and there are two outside stages, and which is a fairly recent development.
And would Autopsy be a main stage act, do you think?
Yeah, they're one of the headliners on the first night. I think they might be the headliner.
Yeah, they're the headliner and the main room on Thursday. And by the way, this all takes place at Sonar.
And tell me what Sonar is.
So Sonar is a venue in Baltimore, right in the heart of Baltimore, just around the corner from some strip clubs and
the red light block, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's very red light district. I go up to Baltimore a lot for metal shows because it's only an hour away. And Sonar, I've just always enjoyed going to shows there. Great sound, real professional folks, and they bring the mosh.
And so all the things are at Sonar or near Sonar?
Everything's at Sonar. It's all contained. So what they do is they block off East Saratoga Street, which is right in front of Sonar, and they set up two stages on either side of the block, and in the middle are a whole bunch of vendors selling t-shirts, both official and unofficial, and CDs and vinyl. And
is it daytime and nighttime?
It's daytime and nighttime.
Is it weird to do this in the daytime?
No.
It was pretty hot, though, last year.
Yeah. Black and hot.
Everybody's wearing black, and Yeah, it gets a little sweaty.
So we played Autopsy, and Autopsy's a band lots of people are looking forward to, but newer band-wise, why don't you take us to something, Kim Kelly?
Dragged Into Sunlight, definitely. They've been around for a few years. They've put out their last LP, I believe, was Hatred for Mankind. That came out 2009. I think it was just reissued by Prosthetic. They're fantastic. They're this wretched, noisy, black and doom horror show. It's phenomenal. It's really, I hope a lot of people stick around to check them out, because they're one of the best live bands I've ever seen. That's saying something. I see a lot of shows.
That's fantastic. So Dragged Into Sunlight, and this song we'll play is Volcanic Birth.
To even begin to try and live with myself,
I'm
So that's Volcanic Birth, Dragged into Sunlight. One thing that you said, and I think this has run as a theme in other shows we've done about metal, which is artists don't seem quite as prolific as I'm used to in other genres. But do you say that's true? I mean, sometimes there's gaps of 3-4. Sometimes these bands break up for long periods of time, come back. Am I just thinking that is more trend than real?
Well, metal bands generally like to take their time. Some bands like, say, a band like Thou from Baton Rouge, they'll put out like 3-4 releases a year, but then you'll have other bands that haven't put anything out in 6, 7, 10 years, and
wow,
we're still here waiting. Like, if fans are pretty rabid.
Yeah, like, they're loyal.
We're used to waiting. We'll wait for you if we love you, pretty much.
What do people do for 8 years and not make a record? That's just astonishing.
They're just kind of living life, Bob.
Yeah.
You know? Be honest, like most musicians, they're probably just working. You don't make a lot of money making metal.
Because there's not enough of a circuit to go hopping on a tour and coming around and doing that stuff.
I wouldn't say that. There's, okay. I mean, touring is massive in metal. Like, that's, people are always on tour. I just had a band crashing in my house last night. There's just less money in it because the audiences are smaller.
But then every now and again, I'll be surprised. For instance, I saw a great band called All Pigs Must Die here in D.C. at a place called DC9. Wasn't expecting more than 10 people to show up. The whole place was packed.
Oh, great.
It was wonderful. I was like, where did all these people come from?
So that must be what's so wonderful about a festival like this. Any band of any level, pretty much, and I imagine they stagger things so that you can see everything, that there are 10, 12, whatever, 1,000 people who can wind up seeing something on a stage there.
You can probably see about at least a half hour of each band that plays, if you really want to.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Why don't you take us to something? I know there's a new, we're doing a first listen on one of the bands you've picked.
Yeah, there's a brand new St. Vitus album coming out. Their first in 17 years.
Well, there you go.
I mean, that's awesome,
this,
too.
Yeah, this goes to, you know, what you were talking about earlier. It's just bands taking a long time.
And the dedication you guys are talking about. People are actually will remember and wait for this.
Yeah, and I mean, I think St. Vitus came coming back a few years ago as a touring band. They came at the kind of the right time because doom metal, a bunch of young people who are young to metal and just kind of young in general were discovering doom metal for the first time, mostly through the works of the Southern Lord record label. I know you know Boris.
That's
and Sun, and they're kind of like the bigger name bands, and they're not traditional doom metal bands. They're more on the dronier side, but I think they were really good for exposing this type of music to a lot of people who mainly just listen to hardcore or something like that. And St. Vitus was one of those bands that Southern Lord actually championed and actually put out, like dug out this old live album and put it out, and people were like, what is this? And so they have a new album coming out very soon called Lily F-65, which apparently is the name of a downer, which makes
typical
sense because the album is a total downer. I mean, I don't know how Kim feels about it, but I think it's just as good as anything they put out in the 80s and early 90s.
No, it's really, really great. Well, I went on tour with them last year, and I heard them pull out a couple of the new songs, and it just, they floored me. It was just classic Vitus, you know, like classic Vitus with Wino. And they just deliver every night. Like, they really still love it, and they really feel it. And I think people can pick that up from the record.
What do you want to play?
I want to play The Bleeding Ground.
Great.
Begging for help from cold black hearts. hearts. Heaven can't help us. Help us stand. That's what it's like on the bleeding ground.
I have to say, out of context of this show, this is kind of bluesy. This is almost the Bad Company side of rock and roll. I'm sorry. And I'm not putting them down at all, but compared to everything else I've heard and the stuff that I always heard, as I would say, leaking from Lars's ears,
yeah,
at least his headphones.
That sounds gross.
Yeah.
Although very metal to have something leaking from my ears.
That sounded very old.
And that's the point.
Yeah, it was kind of the point, because by the early 80s, the band that was kind of like put that style of bluesy, heavy rock music on the map didn't really exist in that form anymore. So I'm talking about Black Sabbath. By that point, Ozzy was putting out his very poppy rock records, which are awesome, but it wasn't doom metal. And by that point, Black Sabbath was being led by the amazing and always missed Dio. But by that point, Black Sabbath had become a completely different band. They'd mm-hmm. become more of like a dragon rock and roll band. So there are all these like dudes that essentially were like, we still love this music. And we still want to make it. And so in the early 80s, something called the traditional doom metal movement kind of began, where bands like Saint Vitus and Pentagram and Witchfinder.
Pentagram is the local DC, right?
Yeah.
Pentagram has been Jeff. Around as long as Sabbath almost. They've been doing it. There's nobody ever cared.
Yeah, that's true.
They're already old.
Well, and they also didn't really put out their first album until 1984.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Wow.
Even though they'd been around for like 12, 13 years. And all these bands were essentially, they were like, we still want to make doom metal. Let's do it. And some of them kept pretty much to the same script as Black Sabbath. And some of them took it more psychedelic, some were more operatic. But Saint Vitus pretty much like stuck to the Sabbath sound, but was much bluesier and even more depressed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less humor, too.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about what they do. Although, I get the impression that they're funny people.
Well, Lily F65 is a pretty funny name for a record, I think. I'm here with Lars Gotridge. I'm here with Kim Kelly. And we're talking about Maryland Death Fest, the festival that comes up May 24th and goes for, what, Thursday, Friday?
Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
It's 4 days of metal, Bob.
And you buy one ticket for the whole thing, or can you do a la carte?
You can do it a la carte, but people kind of come out for the whole thing. People come from all over the world for this festival. I met some dude from Italy that came.
Was Luca.
Yeah, that was Luca. You introduced me to Luca. Mm-hmm. But I hung out with Luca for a few days. Yeah. It was kind of awesome.
So I'm going to be out of town for a chunk of this, but I may get back by Saturday, Sunday, so maybe I will see you there. We'll hear more of, or something maybe even new that you want to play for us?
Trend-wise, I don't know about that. I know that the lineup this year is skewed a lot more heavily than usual towards black metal, which makes me happy. Like, we have bands like Black Witchery and Sargeist and Horna and Archgo playing, which are killer. Actually, it'd be cool. And even a newer band like Infernal Stronghold, who are from Philly, around where I grew up, they're killer. That would be a good song to play, actually.
Okay. I've got Snorting the Ruins of Sodom. Shall we?
Well, we shall.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Infernal Stronghold, one of the black metal bands playing Maryland Death Fest. Thanks, Kim. That's good.
That was awesome. I had never heard them before.
Oh, they're the best. They're the best dudes. They're totally worth seeing. I think they're playing kind of early, so.
When did Godless Noise, when did this record come out?
I think that one was 2009. Uh-huh. They've been sort of hanging out for a bit while they finish school and, you know, figure things out. They're young guys.
Another big stretch between songs. I'm just saying, I'm just having these conversations. I keep hearing these things. 3-4 years, 16 years. You sort of described the street that's closed off. I've gone to a lot of festivals, street festivals that are like that. But the people who come to these sorts of concerts are so much richer than you might see at the average street fair.
Sure.
So describe some of the color besides black.
Besides, there's a lot of leather. There's a lot of denim. But bullets.
We all have a stereotype. So I guess I'm asking you to help me to get beyond that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing is that metalheads are actually really nice people.
Really sweet people. I've noticed that too.
It's like don't be afraid of them. They can look scary, I guess. But we like to party hard. It's really only been in the last year that I've embraced my inner mosh. I've never really liked the mosh pit. Even when I was a young hardcore kid growing up in Georgia, I just never was really into it. But all of a sudden, I get this rage inside of me. I was like, I want to smash things.
Caught in a mosh, dude.
And that's kind of the great thing about metal and these festivals is that there's the camaraderie around that need to kind of express yourself in that way. And then afterward, we're all hugging and really excited about the things we've just seen. And it's the same experience you would have going to see, I don't want to call out any bands that I dislike, but yeah, you know.
In a different world.
Yeah, and any other different music community.
That's right. I mean, even from classical music to whatever kind of music, great jazz music, and certainly rock music, there's lots of cathartic music within all of those genres that in some way, shape, or form let you get cathartic, and the mosh pit's one in a couple of different worlds of music.
I mean, like Manowar said, brothers of metal, sisters of steel. That's kind of the idea.
So they must embrace, in Baltimore, they must embrace some of the local scene, too.
Oh, yeah. And the cool thing is that they make a point every year to include a bunch of local bands. I know, Kim, that you're excited about Extermination Angel, but the one I'm excited about, and they're local to D.C., and they're not metal, so I'll probably get some flack for this, but...
From me.
Yes, from you.
Well, let's do a battle. Let's play Extermination Angel. Was that the one you...
So there's Extermination Angel versus Coke Bust, which is DC straight edge hardcore.
All right. Well, let's do that first, and then we'll come back and
you
Kim...
would.
And then we'll come back and play Extermination Angel. Here's Coke Bust, Forced to Live.
Yes!
Now, they're cool.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say, you, there's no way you could not appreciate that. That's 54 seconds of just...
pure, unadulterated hardcore.
Excellent. Killing on adrenaline.
So we're going to play Extermination Angel. Anything you want to set this up with, Kim?
They're just awesome. I discovered them either through Lars or through my friend Fred from Brooklyn Vegan. I just heard about him. I listened to him. Like, this is the best. I've been trying to book them in New York, but they won't answer my emails. So
and
please.
Did this one come out in 2009, too, and they're waiting for a new record?
They I saw them recently too, and they basically just have a demo tape. They actually, it was hilarious. They're a death metal band, and they opened up for a bunch of hardcore bands in a basement here in Washington, D.C. The audience was mostly a bunch of like high schoolers and like college freshmen. And it was one of those rooms where like if a mosh pit starts, you're going to be involved. But it was great because Extermination opened up the show. And there are all these like young hardcore kids who have no idea what's about to happen to them. And so there's this dude, and I don't know the vocalist's name, but he has huge hair, and he's wearing like a leather jacket with spikes all over it. And there are all these like hardcore kids in shorts and like t-shirts, and like he's throwing like beer cans at them, and like yelling right in their faces and taunting them the entire show, and I think they got some converts that night.
I'm stoked to see them.
Good. Let's hear. How about Whirlwind Killing Spree? Oh my. Okay. Whirlwind Killing Spree. It'll be. That's a demo?
That's a demo.
And no one signed these guys?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, right. That's Extermination Angel, Whirlwind Killing Spree.
So, something I feel like I should mention about Maryland Death Fest is that they don't have any sponsors. They don't really do that much advertising. It's been largely a word-of-mouth festival for the last 10 years. And for them to have grown to what they are now, I don't know how they're going to be able to fit in Sonar Compound next year.
Huh.
I really don't.
It's going to get sweaty.
It's going to get sweaty.
We'll quote you on that.
Yeah, I think they want to keep it small. I mean, it's not entirely DIY anymore, but they still have that spirit, like the underground. I mean, they have Mortuary Drape and I Hate God and Sargeist playing. It's not exactly, you know, headlined by Nickelback. Like, it's fantastic to see mm-hmm. what they've done with the fest and how it's grown and
how the music has changed.
Yeah, that's really cool, too.
I mean, I wasn't around 10 years ago to see how the festival started, but it looked like it was just basically a bunch of death and, like,
gore grind. All day, every day.
Grindcore bands, yeah. Now it's a little bit of everything, maybe, except power metal.
And do you think, and do those communities talk much? Does the word of mouth spread from all the different sorts of subgenres that exist in metal, which I think has more subgenres than most?
Well, you have no idea, Matt. It's ridiculous. We're nerds. We like to catalog things.
Yeah.
And bands keep pushing boundaries and pulling in more and more influences. So you can't, I mean, you could say black metal. Like, that means Horna. That means Dark Throne. That can mean Wolves in the Throne Room. They're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, No, it's a cool development. It can get really aggravating, but, you know.
I think the kind of like the divide between the black and the death and the thrash metals of the world, I think that was more when metal was more of an, it's kind of like infant stage in the 80s and 90s. I think there are definite divides, and so much to the point where, like, you would get, like, you would get into fights over, like, like fist fights over, like, bands, like, oh man, that sounds like a black metal song. They're a death metal band. That's not right. But no, I mean, as Kim said, that's just changed so much, as we kind of see in the entire music world. It's like those boundaries don't really exist anymore.
I mean, you still have the orthodox black metal, like, yeah, the grind and death metal. Like, there's still people staying true to, you know, the original styles.
But finding new ways to work within those traditional styles too, which is exciting.
Well, we got to go out on something. Am I missing something? Some subgenre that we need to touch on before we walk out the door?
Yeah, I think we need to talk about crust punk.
Okay, I want to know.
Kim, I leave this up to you, actually.
All right. My people.
Describe.
Describe crust punk. Well, it sort of started in, like, way back with, like, Amoebix and Anti-Sonics.
What is way back to you, Kim?
Well, like, the early 80s.
Okay, fine.
Like, late 70s, okay. Early 80s. And it's sort of like metallicized punk rock. It's, like, crass, but slightly more metal and even angrier. And, like, it's a darker sort of theme to it. It's very got a very specific sound, like clangy metallic guitars, punk rock intensity, like hoarse shouted vocals, and a lot of like political and social commentary, and a lot of it came out of England, and the old bands like Amoebix and Hellbastard and Deviated Instinct and Antisect and Doom, like, they're all back and they're touring, and we have two of them. We have Hellbastard and Deviated Instinct, who I can't remember where Deviated Instinct are from, but Hellbastard are from England. They've been around for decades, and they're going to show up, and they're going to tear the place apart, and it's going to be awesome.
There's always a very dedicated crust punk contingent at Maryland Death Fest.
How would you know? What would I see?
Crusties.
Crusties? So we need to describe crusties.
Yeah. It's just sort of like a style of dress mixed with an attitude.
Help me more. The style of dress is something that,
like,
they're going to wear.
Dirty punk rock, like, with, you know, patched
torn
jacket.
Shirts with...
Well, like, you know, tight black pants with patches and vests and, you know, Amoebix shirts and neck tattoos. And it makes sense in the States. Like, the crust punk scene and the metal scene is sort of bled in so much. Like, you'll see a crust punk dude with a Dark Throne patch or, like, a Morbosa Dodd patch. Like, it comes together a lot more than it does in other places. Like, metal and punk bleed in way more than it does overseas. And I think it's a uniquely American thing, and you can't see a better example than MDF. Like, we all sort of come together, metal and punks. It's not like the 80s when, you know, we'd beat the heck out of each other.
Yeah, that wasn't a pretty thing. Why don't you play me something, crustcore, so I get an idea. This description's good. I like it. I want to hear.
Well, metal punk. Okay. Hellbastard are a great example, and they're playing at MDF. So I'd go for, I think, A Beg in Blood is a song.
So that's I Beg in Blood from Natural Order, Hellbastard. So you guys are going there, and you're both great writers. What's going to happen? What are we going to see?
So, yeah, me and Kim are going to Maryland Death Fest, and this year we're going to go, and we're going to bring along a microphone. We're going to interview a bunch of musicians and vendors and various people that we meet and kind of put on social media. So you'll be able to find a lot of that stuff on our personal Tumblrs and Twitters.
Tell us how to find them, and we'll put that on the page too. But
yeah, so you can follow me both on Tumblr and Twitter at Total Vibration. And you, Kim?
I'm Grim Kim.
And just one M and
same
just
thing.
One M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Twitter, and I think that's what I am on Tumblr too, now that I think about it.
That'll be kind of part of what we do, and then we'll kind of like we'll put it all together in a nice package, and we may get concerts for people to listen to, we may not, but we'll certainly try.
All right. That'd be great. And then maybe on the All Songs blog you can do a wrap up of some sort, whether it's some of the interviews, some of the maybe you want to write, either one of you are welcome. We'll do something the Monday, Tuesday or so after it's all over.
That sounds great.
Once we've recovered.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you both. Let's go out on something. Lars, you're going to take us out on the cut that we talked about.
Yeah, I've never seen Electric Wizard, and I'm really excited about it.
Most people in the States haven't. They haven't been over here in 10 years.
That's right. That's what's so exciting about this festival. They bring stuff that you normally just could not see in the States. They're from the UK. Actually, Kim did a great interview with its guitarist, Liz Buckingham, that you can find on NPR Music.
Not to be confused with Lindsay.
Not to be compared with Lindsay Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac. So you can find that on our website. But they put out a great album 2 years ago called Black Masses. And I continue to play it on a pretty regular basis.
Excellent. So let's go out on the song Black Mass. Kim Kelly, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was really fun.
And when you come to D.C. sometime, let's all meet. And maybe Lars will take me to a metal show in Baltimore you'll be at sometime.
You should. That's the best
awesome.
Place in the world.
That's great. Lars, thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
For NPR Music, we're going out
on a black mass.
For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Songs Considered.